Hey, it's Latif from Radiolab. Our goal with each episode is to make you think, how did I live this long and not know that? Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know. Listen wherever you get podcasts.
We want to continue our discussion of hunger now, but this is hunger of a different kind. Right here at home in the United States, college campuses are not places where you would probably expect to find hunger and homelessness, but that's increasingly become a problem for people who are cash-strapped but still trying to get an education.
It's heartbreaking, sometimes devastating, especially when you don't know, when you're not just thinking of you, but when you're going to provide for the ones that you have. Sometimes you beat yourself up because you try to think back as to what did you do, what I didn't do.
You're listening there to Diane McManus, and she's a mother and student at Bunker Hill Community College in Boston. She told WGBH's higher education desk that she's sometimes so hungry she can't even focus on her studies. Now, the results of a new survey out today show that Diane McManus is not alone. Far from it. About 33,000 students at 70 community colleges around the country were surveyed for this report. Two-thirds of them reported that they struggle with food insecurity, and one-half of them with housing insecurity. There are people like this first-year student at Bunker Hill who didn't want to use her real name.
Homelessness is, it feels like being on a yo-yo. Sometimes you can afford it, and then any little thing can make you unable to afford it.
Sarah Goldrick-Rabb is one of the authors of that new report on hunger and homelessness at community colleges in the United States. It was produced by the Wisconsin Hope Lab, which she also founded. Sarah Goldrick-Rabb, welcome to The Takeaway.
Thanks so much for having me.
Now, I know you can't talk about any of the specific voices that we just heard about in that intro there, but did those stories that you heard sound typical? Are they indicative of the types of people that you encountered during the study?
Unfortunately, yes, they sound very, very familiar. I've spent most of the last decade studying community college students and students at public universities around the country. And while I expected to hear stories about people who couldn't buy laptops or books, I increasingly started hearing the sorts of stories that you just listened to. People who can't afford enough to eat, people who can't afford a regular roof over their heads or a place to sleep at night. It's pretty heartbreaking.
Well, previous studies have suggested that half of community college students are food insecure. Your study upgrades that to 2 out of 3. That's a staggering number. What's typical with a student who's classified as food insecure? What's going on here in their lives?
Well, you know, I mean, the first thing is I think that we find higher rates of food insecurity possibly because we got this survey to students earlier in the semester. And one of the things that is typical for students who were going through these challenges is they don't even make it very far within the term, meaning that they may be enrolled in September, but if you wait to talk to them until November, they're gone. These folks are really on the knife's edge of poverty, and it's why they're in college. They're doing exactly what they can and should to try to get ahead, but being hungry while trying to master college-level material, it's tough.
1 in 7 people in your study were classified as homeless, which is another staggering number. And here they are trying to go to school, obviously, to be able to make more money and better these very conditions in the first place.
That's right. I want to be clear, you know, I ate ramen in college, and I'm sure that some of your listeners did as well. And some of us even sort of couch surfed in the nice sense of that. This isn't that. These are folks that can't even afford ramen. They're not sure where their next meal's coming from at all. You know, when we say somebody's homeless, it's not that they can't decide where to stay at night. It's they have no place. They're sleeping in their cars. They're sleeping on the street. I've even met students who are sleeping on the sidewalk outside of the classroom where they go to college. So it's a whole new level of challenge.
What's the impact on the ability to learn and study, which is the point of working your way through school in the first place?
Take the individual. I mean, this is such a difficult thing to go through, again, while you're just trying to do the right thing. And many of these folks, we discovered, are working, and they are getting financial aid. In other words, they've done everything they're supposed to do. And it's the prices today are so high and the wages at these low-wage jobs they work at are so low that they can't make ends meet. The other impact, I have to admit, is on the colleges that they enroll in. If you can imagine a community college that has sizable numbers of these students there, while at the same time receiving some of the lowest levels of state funding, You put the two together. Under-resourced students in under-resourced classrooms at colleges that are so vulnerable, and it's a real perfect storm.
Is there a tendency to discount these issues or ignore them once we're dealing with adults? Is there a tendency to kind of turn away and say, well, you're 20 now, you know, we're not going to worry about you?
Yeah, there is. And I'm a little mystified by it. It is as if there was this bright line that's been drawn that says, oh, you turned 18, you graduated from high school, your poverty is now your own problem. And it's kind of incredible. And the students that I've talked to have expressed this in a way that I think many of us would also be struck by. They say, look, we did the right thing. You told us to graduate from high school. You told us to enroll in community college. You didn't tell us that when we showed up there, there'd be no breakfast anymore. There'd be no lunch anymore. You would take away our Metro card. And our expenses would rise so substantially that the Pell Grant wouldn't get it done. And it makes very little sense. I mean, it wouldn't take very much for us to expand the National School Lunch Program, for example, into the nation's community colleges. This is not rocket science. We can do this.
It is very hard to look away from this new report that finds that two-thirds of community college students in the United States struggle with food insecurity. Sarah Goldrick-Raab is the author of that report. Thank you for being with us.
Thanks for having me.
When it comes to graduation rates, minority student enrollment, and more, how do community colleges in your area measure up? You can visit thetakeaway.org/communitycollege to see our interactive map on more than 1,000 community colleges all across the country.